you guys. Talking about another movie. This is one that one of our patrons, Liam, sent to us.
Yeah, this is a great movie.
This is actually one that even though I love Tom Hardy and I love British crime movies, I had actually never heard of this one. This came out in 2015 and it's called Legend.
Yeah, this is kind of like the British equivalent of Goodfellas.
Yeah, it
If you,
does have a lot of similarities with
yeah,
Goodfellas,
it's a
yeah.
period piece taking place in England. This is all London, isn't it? Yeah,
Yeah.
pretty much London and in the 60s. So it's like a period piece, and they do stuff in it that you could only do in the 60s, which is fucking great for especially for a gangster movie. It's about these two crazy fucking British gangsters and their relationship with the mob and what the American Italian mob and then what ended up happening to them later on. It's fucking wild, man. It's wild. It's a wild movie. Pretty good.
Yeah, this isn't actually, this is the first, isn't the first movie that I've seen that was about the craze. They made one like back in the fucking, god damn, was it in the 90s? There was one just called The Craze, which had, god, what, like the Kemp twins, Gary and Martin, I think are their names, and they were in it. And that might not be the only one. I feel like there was more than that, like made about the craze, because they're like fucking super, super famous, like in the UK.
Yeah, I have no idea how authentic this movie is historically. It doesn't really matter. I mean, you just want to watch a good movie. I mean, that was the same with Goodfellas. I don't care how accurate that was or not. Some people say, oh, no, it's an exaggeration. Doesn't matter. You're telling a story. All right.
Yeah, and the thing about it is, even if a movie is based on a true story, it's still a movie. So it's not actually what happened. You weren't there filming the shit. You know what I mean? It's not a documentary. So.
Every time I see Tom Hardy in a movie, I gain more respect for him as an actor. I like him. Fucking, he was great in Fury Road. A lot of people fucking dinged Fury Road. Oh man, that's just too feminist. Whatever, man. Fucking, that was a fucking great movie. All right,
I
I
love
like
that
Fury
movie,
Road.
actually.
Fury Road was a mixture of everything.
We've seen it like 10 times.
Yeah, he was great in Bronson, which is another
Yeah.
true crime movie based on some real shit. He was fucking great in Bronson. He was good. He was great in Batman. He was, I like him.
He's a cool ass dude.
Yeah, I
And
like
it seemed like he what I heard was that he was so excited to do this movie that he wanted to play both roles, because he plays both twins. And he said, I tell you what, if you let me play one of the twins, then I'll play the other role for free. Because, like I said,
him.
honestly, you would get paid for two roles, obviously, because you're doing two roles.
Mm-hmm.
But he wanted to do them both so badly. And it's really good because, much like in some other movies where you have the same actor playing twins, and I'm thinking of like like Dead Ringers, like Jeremy Irons playing the twins, you can tell just from the body language and the facial expressions before they even say anything, which twin that it is.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's funny because Ronnie and Reggie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fucking Reggie was the sane one.
yeah
Ronnie was fucking crazy. I mean, they declared his ass insane.
yeah
Schizophrenia and shit. He was
Well, they
doing
only
crazy.
let him out because
Yeah.
Reggie threatened the psychiatrist.
Yeah.
They threatened the
Yeah,
psychiatrist if
and
they didn't
what's
let him
weird
out.
is Reggie's straight and Ronnie's gay.
Yeah.
But, he says, what did he say? He says, I'm a masculine gay, right? And then he said,
No, he didn't. I don't
what
think he
did he
said that
say?
in the movie. He's well, he was the funny
He
thing
said, I'm
about
a
it.
guy. He said, I'm a
I'm
guy.
into boys.
Yes. He told the mobs that.
Yeah.
And they were like, what?
And this was
Because,
like in the 60s. Like, or maybe late 50s, actually.
that shit did not fly with the Italian fucking mob.
Yeah, but they kind of were like, they were taken aback for a second, and then they were like, all right, I said, whatever.
Well,
He said, "You t it take it took balls for you to just say
yeah,
that out
they
loud
said that. It
like
says you got balls for saying that.
that."
And then, the guy—I don't know that actor's name—but he's been in a bunch of Italian gangster movies.
That's Chaz Palminteri,
That's
right?
his name, yeah. After he said all that, though, he's taking a drink and he's looking at him like this motherfucker's crazy. He was crazy though.
Oh
He caught
yeah.
him right. Yeah, he's fucking
Well,
crazy.
like I said, he got diagnosed with paranoid schizophrenia,
Yeah.
rather early in his life. And the only reason that he was let out was because of Reg, basically
Yeah.
threatening the psychiatrist and like, threatened to kill their
Yeah.
families or whatever it was he did, like to get his brother let out. And honestly, after they both got caught, like Reg went to prison, but they sent Ronnie back to Broadmoor
Yeah.
because he was paranoid schizophrenic.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's pretty clear. In this movie, that
He did say he was a masculine gay though. Remember that when he was living in that trailer and the dude came out
yeah,
He was dressed a little
bit. Well, he just said to Francis, he said, I'm a homosexual. He said to her, and she was just like, oh, all right.
I'm a giver. I'm not a taker.
Or something.
Like some that. Shit like yeah. that. You know what I mean? He tried to make sure that he was trying to let everybody know that he was a top. He wasn't a bottom. It's fucking funny. But he was a badass, though. He's fucking crazy. Fucking shoot you in the face right in fucking public and everything.
I mean, honestly, one of the best scenes in this was when they go to that pub to like meet the emissaries from the rival gang, the torture gang.
Yeah.
And it's a setup. And Reg knows that, even though they're kind of pretending they're going to go to talk about a truce or whatever. And he goes there and he's just like real calm, drinking the beer. And then he says, I got a joke for you. He's like, a paranoid schizophrenic walks into a bar and then then Ronnie comes back in with a fucking hammer and starts beating the shit out of all the other guys.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah. It's like, it's horrifying, but it's also like hilarious.
We need to do an episode on Reggie and Ronnie Cray.
I'm amazed we haven't done one yet because they're fascinating, fascinating characters. Yeah. I mean, obviously they're pieces of shit. They killed a lot of people.
Yeah, but it was gangsters though.
But it was gangsters. Yeah. You know what I mean?
It's not the same situation. It's not, they're not going on civilians. These dudes are willingly in this business, killing each other over money. It's like joining private armies. You know what I mean? It's not the same as going out and fucking killing and murdering innocent working people. You know, that's a big difference. You know what I mean? It's still illegal. You can't wage war on another group when you're inside the jurisdiction of a country. You know, you can't do it. But they were doing it, and they were hanging out with the fucking wealthy elites and all the politicians of England.
Well, that's how they got away with a lot of stuff, because they had dirt on a lot of them.
That's what I did like about the movies. It had the balls to point that out, that the ultra rich and the ruling class and the criminal class have a lot in common. A lot of ill-gotten gains.
They even say that. They say that outright in the movie.
It's always been that way. They're making money off of scams, making a lot of easy money, and they have no predilections towards any of these middle-class moralities. They're fucking... They like their fucking blow and their hoes, and they're naughty. All ruling classes like that. Going back to the fucking Roman period, they're like that. Because... they're not the same rules don't apply to them. When they get in trouble, they can get out of trouble. When you got money, you know, money.
Well,
and dirt on everybody.
That's kind of went a long way toward, you know, how powerful they were. Not only because they were fucking ruthless, and if you just got in their way, they would just fucking kill you. Especially Ron, because he was like a lunatic.
He didn't have any fucking.
Yeah, he didn't really have any compunction. Like he legit walked into a crowded pub.
Yeah.
And shot the head of the rival gang in the head in front of everybody.
Yeah. With all those witnesses.
Which actually ended up getting them caught. Like, well, actually, Reg ended up, like, flipping out after that and, like, murdering another dude, like, at a party. Yeah. And also in front of a whole bunch of people, which also ended up getting... Because at that point, everyone was, like, turned on him.
Yeah, the thing is, though, is that... I always compare people to the Italian mob. So you Italians, you can go ahead and take a bow. You got the Italian mob in its heyday. All right, it's not quite the same type of deal. It's not the same situation as today. Things have changed, but the Italian mob in its heyday had organized crime down to a science. And they started on street level. For guys that came from the street, they ended up fucking doing super, super well. And over time, most of those families went straight because they owned so many businesses, they didn't have to commit crimes. They were doing this shit to get into the middle class and the upper class. That's why they were gangsters. They, you know, they didn't necessarily do it just for the shits and giggles. They were mission-oriented. So it was goal-directed violence. And why I'm telling you this is because Reggie would have made it in a scene like that, but not Ronnie. Not Ronnie.
He was too much of a loose cannon.
Right. Fucking, the Iceman, who was a good Italian fucking...
Kuklinski.
Kuklinski. He worked for its late Italian mob as an assassin. Kuklinski would have killed Reg instantly.
Ronnie, excuse me.
Yeah, Reg, he would have...
Well, they kind of...
he would have killed him instantly.
They kind of go into this in the movie, and this is actually... It's kind of based on a biography. I don't know if I'd call it a biopic. It sort of is. But the focus of it is on different things. The focus of it is honestly between, you know, on the relationship between the two brothers, and also on the love story, the relationship between Reg and his wife, Frances. So you have... And it's almost kind of like a love triangle, and a little bit. It's not exactly the way I'm... pictured like saying it, but there was a book called The Profession of Violence, The Rise and Fall of the Kray Twins that this draws largely from. And I think there are times in the movie, and you were saying this while we were watching it, where you're like, in, you know, Red should have absolutely killed Ron or like taken him out of the picture at some point. But the fact that he couldn't do that because he was still, he was his twin brother and he still loved him, even though he was essentially like ruining his business. Because what ended up happening at one point, and they showed this in the movie.
He was ruining everyone's business.
Yeah, he was ruining everything. I mean, he was just, because like I said, he was a loose cannon. They didn't know what he was going to do. He was doing all kind of crazy shit. He wasn't like really careful. And what ended up happening was that Reg, he kind of sort of wanted to sort of go straight, like when him and Francis first got together, because he wanted to be like a good man for her or whatever. But I think that the allure of crime was too strong for him. But he did own some nightclubs, which were like legitimate businesses. And he got put in prison for some just like bullshit charge. It was like 6 months or something, like some outstanding warrant. And while he was gone, Ron was running the nightclub, and in 6 months he ran it into the fucking ground.
Yeah.
Like no one was would come anymore.
And everyone suffered.
Yeah, like everyone that worked there and shit like that.
And then all the other gangsters that depended on that place running well for an income, they all suffered. And you see, when gangsters don't have good income, then they have to go out on their own and go commit crimes. So having a lunatic in charge actually is worse, much worse than having a sane, organized gangster involved, because he's keeping all these other gangsters in under control.
Well, because everyone's trying to make
money. They're all trying to make money. This is the thing a lot of people don't realize. The reason why mafias exist is because they're conducting businesses that prevent them from access to the legal system. So if somebody steals from them, they have to handle that. They can't go to the cops. All right. A mafia hitman is kind of like the executioner and the police force or the cops of the mafia. If one of these gangsters gets out of line, bringing on too much heat towards everyone else, everyone's at risk. If he's a made man, in other words, the guy that's bringing on the heat, if he's made, they have to have a sit between the bosses, and then they say, yeah, let's kill this guy. Then they send a hitman to go and get him. All right. They usually come at him with a smile. They have no idea that a hit's been placed on him. It's murder or an execution. All right. If they're nice to you and, you know, if it's no hard feelings, it's a bullet to the back of the head, it's instant. You don't even know that they did it. If you're not a made man, they don't need the sit. Like, you're just a junior level guy who joined up, you know what I mean? That you're not made, you know. You're like a mercenary. They can kill you for just bringing any heat. They don't need a sit. They'll just go, get rid of him. You're a junior member, you know. He's bringing heat, you know. He's doing this and that. He's out of control. We're all going to get in trouble. Kill him.
Yeah.
You know. Well, Ronnie would have been hit in a well-functioning Italian-style mob. Ronnie would have been hit in a matter of weeks.
Well, and he, like I said, him, you know, doing what he was doing did actually end up getting them all caught. Well, actually led to, you know, their fixer guy, whose name was Payne, who's played by David Thewlis in this, by the way. He actually ended up flipping on them just for that very reason, because that guy was legit. He was like a barrister or whatever, solicitor or whatever. And, well, that one scene where Reg, the sane one, where he just stabbed the shit out of, Jack the Hat, I think, like at that party at the end, like in front of all those people, he did that, and then he just goes up to Ron and said, you know, I did that because I can't kill you.
Yeah.
He wanted to, but he couldn't because it was family.
See, the problem is shitbags, psychopathic, violent criminals are a dime a dozen. Organized crime doesn't need them. What they're looking for is good, honest, reliable criminals. Those are hard to find. And that's really what the mob was about. They were trying to get the best ones. But you need these execution, you need these hits to happen to weed them out. You know, to get rid of dudes. Their heads get too big walking around trying to be famous. I'm a gangster. No, you'd get hit for that too. All right. They told the Italian mafia told Reggie that. They're like, the problem is that you're famous. We don't allow famous. We like anonymous. You know what I mean? They wanted to work with him, but they were worried about him because he was famous.
Yeah, everybody knew.
Yeah, a famous gangster.
Who the Krays were, everybody.
That didn't happen in the United States after the 20s and the 30s. The Capone era, that was the end of the famous gangsters.
Yeah.
They were all fucking stealth.
Which, like I said, it's better if you're doing a bunch of illegal shit. You don't want to be like, hey, I'm this famous gangster. Look at me.
Your lifespan is very short.
Either like the cops are going to get you or a rival gang's going to fucking bump you off or something like that. Which, like I said, it ends up happening in this one because I guess the Krays, their kind of territory was on one side of the Thames, I'm assuming. Like, they were more East End, and then you had this other gang, the Torture Gang, and so they were always kind of, like, beefing with one another. So there was that whole thing going on. And also, there was a cop, who, and this is played by the fantastic Christopher Eccleston, I love him. He played Nipper Reed, and so he was the guy that was, like, following them around and, like, trying to find dirt on them. Because everybody knew they were gangsters, that's what I mean, they were famous.
Yeah.
They were famous in the East End, even before they got famous, like, countrywide, you know what I mean? Yeah. Because they did. It's funny because I feel like where they grew up, like their mom loved them, even though she knew they were gangsters. Everybody knew they were gangsters, but everyone thought they were cool guys, or at least they thought Reg was cool.
They kind of had a Robin Hood personality to them.
They did,
yeah. And they were charismatic.
Yeah.
All gangsters were charismatic. If you weren't charismatic, you couldn't be a gangster.
True.
You just couldn't. Even the Italians were like that. The Italians, you know, in their heyday, they could go to the governor's house and eat with the governor, and the governor would feel safe to have you around the kids. You know, chief of police. They were all on the take.
Yeah.
They were all on the take. They had a good relationship outside the law with each other on a personal basis. You can't have a bunch of psychopathic fucking motherfuckers like, you know, Reggie Cray or Ronnie Cray. Yeah. Ronnie. You couldn't have Ronnie Crays around. There had to be quality control.
Yeah, because he was a crazy person.
He's fucking crazy, right?
I mean, you know.
And he brought down their whole little empire.
Pretty much.
Had he been hit early on, fucking Reggie would have lasted a lot longer.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, which, you know, like I said. And so this, the movie, like I said, it does go into, like, a lot of the crime and stuff that they did, obviously. But it's sort of, it's weird because it's narrated by Frances, who was married to Reggie Cray for a while. And she, spoiler alert, she actually did kill herself, as she did in real life. And I think they slightly changed it in the movie. I think in the movie, you know, she left him because she was basically like, she wanted him to go legit. And he said that he would. And then he kind of went back on that promise. And so there was kind of a big blow up. He got really mad at her and he started smacking her around. At which point she left and went and stayed with her brother. And, you know, then he came back and he tried to be all like contrite and everything. And she said, yeah, you know, we'll try it again or whatever. But then she committed suicide. I think that she actually committed suicide when he was in prison in real life. I'm not entirely sure. But so the fact that he kind of did that, that's kind of shitty. But he did actually seem to have loved her. And it does seem that he sort of tried to go straight a little bit. But I just don't think it was ever going to happen.
Yeah, and she was being played by this itty bitty British chick with a supernatural draw line.
He kept talking about it like through the whole movie.
They kept shooting her in profile with fucking lighting underneath to fucking bounce off the bottom of her jaw. And I was going, Jenny, that can't be natural. That had to have been a store-bought jaw. She's skinny, little bitty head with a big old hair on top of it.
Yeah, because it was 60.
So she looks like it's a cute haircut. And you should get a wig like that. That'd be cute.
Yeah, we were talking about that, too.
She looked like a little bitty lollipop walking around.
A little bitty lollipop.
Yeah, big head, little bitty body. So, with a jaw like it. She looked like that gothic cartoon character we used to have back in the 90s. What was his name? Gloom Cookie?
Oh, yeah. Remember Gloom Cookie? What are you talking about?
Gloom Cookie, yeah.
But yeah, so a lot of the movie is kind of, because it's from her point of view, even though it's weird because she narrates it, but I mean, there's a lot of stuff in there that she couldn't have known about because she wasn't there. But they just, I guess it's just for expedience sake.
Yeah.
We will say, like, I didn't have too much trouble, but I watched some other reviews of this. And apparently, like, quite a lot of people said they had to turn the subtitles on.
No, we did.
Because, well, I usually do that anyway because I'm deaf. But, you know, because I'm deaf as shit.
I can't understand what those fuckers were saying.
But, yeah, like, as soon as the movie started, well, because they're very, it's very, very Cockney.
Yeah.
So if you don't know, so it's not just, you know, them talking really fast and having that really thick Cockney accent, but it's also using a lot of slang that maybe Americans don't know what that is. You know what I mean?
People say that sometimes they can't understand a fucking real strong Southern drawl. That ain't shit, man, compared to that Cockney there, man. That's like to mush mouth motherfuckers. Just enunciate, bitch. Enunciate. You know? We might draw some shit out and slow it down and stretch it or maybe make up some weird fucking slangs in the South. But we enunciate.
Although I will say that I don't have as much trouble, figuring out Cockney accents as I do Scottish accents. Although it depends who's talking. Well, because like I said, my hearing is kind of bad anyway. So even like when Americans are talking, I usually put the closed captioning on just so I don't miss anything. Because I feel like I'm like that old guy in that fucking commercial for the hearing aids back in the 90s. Of like, I can't hear you. People mumble. I'm like, yeah. I'm like that guy.
So funny. When I first met her, this was fucking years back. Might have been 11 years ago. She was married at the time to a guy from Wales.
Yeah.
We were in the club and I started talking to him and I had to pretend that I understood him. I couldn't understand a fucking word of what that dude said.
And his accent was not really that thick. Compared to...
He was yelling, and it was kind of loud, and he was yelling in that... And trying to make himself understood in that accent. And it just sounded just like some guttural medieval shit. You know what I mean? I was like, whatever, man. Okay. I don't know what you're saying, man.
To me, like, his accent never suited. Yeah. And especially after I moved over there, his accent was, like, not nearly as thick as his family's.
Like he's speaking Klingon.
But... You know what's interesting? It's like if you guys saw my Flickers of Fear, my review that I did of Saint Maud, and the interesting thing about that is that the girl that plays Maud in that is Welsh, and she speaks Welsh in that movie. And actually, there's a scene where she talks to the devil, and the devil is speaking Welsh. It's actually her, but it's they slowed her voice way down to make it sound like devilish. And listening to it in that context, even though I'm pretty familiar with, I learned like a little bit of Welsh, before I went and while I lived there and stuff. So it's not like a completely alien language to me. But listening to it spoken in that context, I can see how people would think that it sounded like an alien language.
Yeah.
It is a very weird sounding language. And, if you're not familiar with Gaelic or anything like that, which is sort of similar, but it's... The thing that threw me off the most about it was that a lot of their vowels and consonants are not pronounced remotely the same as they are in English. So like they have a lot of the same letters, but they're pronounced completely differently. Mm. And so that threw me off a lot when I was like trying to learn it, because I'm like, what do you mean W is a vowel? That's the craziest thing I ever heard. Mm. But it is. But yeah, so there was that whole thing. So I will say that if you're not real good at picking up on British has like real, real thick, like Cockney accents, then you might want to put the closed captioning on. Pretty much 90% of the other reviews of this that I saw, they said they had to put the closed captioning on because they couldn't understand what Tom Hardy was saying. And I think it was more, it wasn't as much when he played Reg. When he was playing Ron, he had this kind of weird, like he was a lot more mush mouthed. Mm-hmm. Because I think that's what Ron really talked like, he seemed like he did a lot of research into what they looked like and what they sounded like, to try to get it right. So I had more trouble understanding Ron than I did Reg. But I don't know. I'm just saying that's like a pro tip. Yeah. But yeah, it's good because I really, really like British crime movies, like I said. And so I'm amazed because this came out in 2015 and I didn't hear about it. I had never heard of it. And then Liam sent it to us. And I was like, what? It's like, it's got Tom Hardy in it and it's about the Cray twins. How the fuck did I not know about this movie? I feel like it didn't get fantastic reviews. Like the reviews were kind of mixed. A lot of people a lot of people kind of said, it's just like the British Goodfellas. Like it's already been done or whatever. But but all the reviews like really, really praised like Tom Hardy's
performance. It's a gangster movie.
Yeah. And like I said, the focus, I liked it because the focus was, it was on the gangster shit and it was on the characters. But I liked that the focus was more about the relationship between the two brothers and the relationship between Reg and Francis. That was kind of like the focus of the movie. And then there was kind of gangster shit going on.
Yeah. It didn't really hardly discuss at all what they were doing in terms of crime.
Yeah, like, it kind of skipped over. Like it.
I'm assuming it was drugs and prostitution and maybe running numbers or something.
Yeah, it was like, yeah, it was gambling shit. Stuff or, you know, like that. I mean, shit like that. Right. You know, they were doing, I don't even know if they were involved in prostitution now that I'm thinking about it. Yeah, that's the kind of thing. I think it was mostly gambling kind of shit. Even though, you know what I mean? Like, a lot of gambling is legal over there. That's not legal over here.
I don't know what it was.
So I'm not really sure, like,
they were making enough to buy multiple homes. And cars.
And nightclubs. And they had some legit, like, front businesses. But, yeah, like you said before, I was watching, I can't remember what his name is now, but I was watching, I found this channel, and it was a guy that used to be in the mafia, like an Italian-American guy, and he's not in the mafia anymore. He's, like, older now. And he has a YouTube channel where he reviews movies about the mob.
Yeah.
Isn't that neat? And so I watched, he had a review about this and he loved it. He thought it was great. And he actually, you know, he had never met the Craze, but he knew people that had met the Craze because, like I said, the Italian mafia went over there at one point. And he said, oh, and I went to London once and I stayed in this room that, you know, that Reg stayed in like one time or something like that, except it was a jail cell then, because I guess like the jail that he stayed in or whatever, it's like a hotel now or something. And but yeah, he was talking about that. But yeah, he loved that movie and he was like talking about a bunch of the scenes. Like I said, I think one of my favorite scenes is that one in the bar where, you know, where he tells him the beginning of that joke, like a paranoid schizophrenic walks into a bar and then Ron comes in and like fucking hammers the shit out of everybody. That's like pretty hilarious. And but you know, it's not a super violent, but it has like, it's mostly like character driven, but then it has these kind of like really super violent like outbursts. Like that part where Reg stabs Jack the Hat at the end of that party, that's like pretty fucking brutal, like at the end.
Yeah.
And there's like one scene with the torture gang, who is like their rival gang, where they have a guy like hanging upside down in a warehouse. They're like electrocuting his nipples or something like that.
Well, they were doing all kinds of stuff too.
They were doing all kinds of shit to him.
Well, they were, they had him on trial.
Yeah. No, yeah, the dude had a wig and everything.
Yeah, they had him on trial. They had a guy in the court, the Chief Justice,
yeah,
had him on trial where he had to call him Your Honor and everything.
Oh my God.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, you know. Yeah. But yeah, it's definitely a good movie if you haven't seen it. And, you know, if you're into British crime flicks, I can't believe I never saw this movie. He sent us the Blu-ray. I think it's also on Amazon Prime, although you might have to pay, right? I think it's $2.99 or $3.99, yeah, or something like that. It's no big deal.
$3.99, no big deal.
Yeah. So, yeah, I definitely would recommend it. Tom Hardy was fucking great in it. Yep. And it's just like a really entertaining, like I said, it's not like a super in-depth biopic or anything, but it's like, if you liked Goodfellas, it's kind of like a British version of that. Yeah.
Liam sent us the Blu-ray. I tried to play it, but it's Region B.
Yeah, we couldn't play it. So we just watched it on Amazon Prime instead. Because I wanted to watch it so bad, and I was just kind of like, it might play on the other Blu-ray player. I'm not really sure, but it wouldn't play on the Xbox.
Yeah.
But yeah, so thanks, Liam, for sending us that. That was a movie that I hadn't heard of, and I really, really enjoyed it quite a bit. So I guess that'll do it for this one. You have anything else you would like to add?
Nope.
All right, so we will see you guys on the next one. Bye.